You are entering the Royals Podcast Network.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
Belted to left field. Billy comes through tonight. Splash!
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Troy Olson. I'm joined by Michael Engel. We left Jeff Herr behind at the bus station this week, and we're starting without him. Now, he's working and doing some other things, and we both had some things to do tonight, so we were going to try to sneak one in here for you and get on with things. We want to tell you about, we're going to be on a new online radio station. You'll be able to hear our shows Wednesday night at 7. I'm really excited about this. This is a project of Chris Kamler's, who you guys know as Fake Ned. He's been mastermind of many things. He's the mastermind behind my MLB Fan Cave video and lots of different things like that. So he's got some different things going on, and he has invited us to be part of it. It's called the Our City Radio. You'll be able to find it at kansascity.rradio.com. And then you can use /sports-channel, and that takes you to the channel. I'm pretty sure you can link it off the front. But it's kansascity.rcity.com. And we'll have our show featured every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And obviously, if you've downloaded it, you might already hear it. But it'll be a little different on there. And if you haven't downloaded it, you can look for it there starting going forward. It'll also be repeated, I believe, during the day at one point if you're more able to listen at work to that than you would be to other things. And I'm sure this will end up on TuneIn and some other areas. But we're pretty excited about this. And they have some good local music on there playing all the time when there isn't sports shows. And I know Pine Tar Press is going to be on there. And the ball game's on there. And he's got a show called Ump Talk, which looks like it's going to be pretty good. And Walk Off Talk's on there. And you can find those all for download right there as well if you, for some reason, can't download from one of our many different sites. Also, look for a makeover of the RoyalsPodcast.com site. It's coming, and I know that Mike's been involved with the rebuild on this somewhat, and but those guys from Pine Tar Press are spearheading this as well, and Clint Scholes primarily, and it's gonna look pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's all Clint. I don't think Leskie's doing anything, because Leskie's a butthead.
But no, Clint's done a lot of work with this, and we really have the utmost respect for them. And they're really behind the VoteRoyalMan.com team. I mean, they are definitely helping to spearhead that movement to help us get the word out. And still haven't heard anything as of the time of recording this show. I do not know if I have made it into. Well, the thing is, it almost seems like MLB Fan Cave's going to do something different this year, and we don't know what. And I've been talking. Well, it's funny because I was originally not going to get to know any of the other people that were running for Fan Cave until I found out if I made it or not. And then, of course, if I made it, I was going to be all excited to meet the other eight or whatever they went with and get to know those folks real well. But because, you know, you don't want to get to know people that you must crush with every part of your being. And then, you know, you might get to know them, might like them, and then you have to crush them anyways. But I have been talking with some of them, and I don't think it's going to be quite the crushing thing that sometimes I let my mind think it is. But, you know, it is a contest, and we don't know how many are going to make it, honestly. It could, according to the rules, it could be as few as three. So they may roll it back this year. They may make it more than nine. I don't know how many rooms or how many people they can fit on bunk beds in this house in New York City, but no announcement yet. Last year they did a top 50 by this time, and they had a top 30, I think, even by this time. I think by the 15th of February they were down to the top 30 and had them out at spring training this week for practices. So either they're not doing that this year, or they're taking the top 30 to actual spring training. It's hard to say. So we're still waiting, nothing yet, but you can still go to VoteRoyalMan.com and check out the video and give it a thumbs up if you can. I mean, everything helps. Last time I looked, we were at 1,215 views. I had one of the guys that made it into the top 52 last year reach out to me and say that he also had 1,200 on his last year, and he got in. He thought I was a shoo-in if they do the top 50. He thought I had a pretty good slot if they even did a top 30. So that made me feel good, and I've gotten to know some of the others. Of course, Charles, he's another Royals fan. He's been a great friend. He's made the baseball cards, some other stuff for me. He's been really supportive of me. And, you know, we've been doing Vote Royal Man, Vote Charles, you know, Vote Royals. We want us both to make it. And if you're looking for great baseball follows, Tay Emhart, T-A-Y-M-E-M-H-A-R-T, is an East Coast baseball fan. And she's been very, very generous to me. We've been talking quite a bit and hoping that we both make it and what have you. She's out in Maine, and it's really, really cold right now. And then the one that I was mentioning is Andres, and he's Latino Loco 4RWF. It's one of those great Twitter handles like BDN765. Or whatever his is.
I think it's BDN7. Yeah, I think 765 is probably
it. I think I've used it enough times that I remember it now. But he's a Marlins fan, so he's hoping that they go with one from every team in the top 50 like they did last year. He's hoping they do a top 52 and they do one from every team, because he thinks he might be the only Marlins fan left on the planet. So
it's possible.
But definitely, you know, back this up and get those Twitter handles and follow those guys. And Charles Solars, it's Charles, S-O-L-L-A-R-S. Give him a follow, too, because these have been the three that I've gotten to know the best, and they all deserve to be part of the fan cave as well. So I hope that all four of us are able to make it. Moving on to baseball stuff, I kind of went on to that spiel because there really isn't a lot going on. We are going to talk to Anthony Sarantelli today. And you say, why are we going to talk to Anthony Sarantelli? This is a Royals podcast. He's no longer with the Royals. Well, you know what? The guy was here for 8 years. I think we can reach out to him and find out how life is in New York City. But we're pretty excited for him, and we're going to talk to him here in just a little bit. Other than that, Mike, what's happened in the world of the Royals?
Well, I mean, it's like you said, there's not a lot going on. The Royals, a long time ago, seemed like they were more or less done. Once they signed Bruce Chinn, that really seemed to be the last move that they made. And you're just kind of seeing what, you know, how the Emilio Bonifacio situation resolved itself, which it has now. He was released. He is with the Cubs. If he makes their team, he's going to make, I think it's like $2.5 million is what I saw. But the Royals are also going to pay him about $580,000 because it's basically like termination pay because he was tendered a contract. So, you know, I don't know if you really want to get worked up about that. We talked a bit about it, you know, last time. And it's one of those things. The Royals really had to keep things around that $90 million mark as far as their payroll. And that's one of the moves that they were able to do just to keep it in that area. So that's probably the biggest name involved. The Royals picked up a guy yesterday named Jimmy Paredes, who is already had an interesting winter. He was finished the season with the Astros last year. He's a utility guy. He's switch hitter. He plays outfield, infield, all over the place. Doesn't really hit a whole lot. So that could be interesting to see what he does. But like I said, he finished with the Astros. Then I think the Orioles claimed him off waivers. They waived him. No, I'm getting this wrong. I'm already messing this up. He was with the Astros. Then he was designated for assignment and picked up by the Marlins. The Marlins designated him for assignment. He was picked up by the Orioles. The Orioles almost immediately designated him for assignment and put him back out on waivers, and the Royals claimed him. So we will see. It's one of those things that I'm not really too worked up about his role or anything. I think what the Orioles were trying to do is what Toronto did a lot last spring, where you claim a guy that you think you might have a spot for in the minors, and you try to get him through waivers to see if you can get them off your 40-man and still keep them in your organization. And you know, that might be what the Royals end up trying to do, too. I don't think he's a serious contender to be any kind of regular or even a bench guy. I think if they're going to do that, it's going to be Pedro Siriaco. So I guess I would liken it to, you know how if you play fantasy football, you kind of have in the back of your mind that one roster spot that if you need to pick up a free agent really quick, that's the guy you're going to drop. I think that's what he's kind of occupying. So nothing really all that, you know, notable in this move. It's really just a depth thing, and even speculative at that, because I wouldn't expect him to get through camp. They ended up designating Michael Clato, who's a reliever. They designated him for assignment so that they can make room for him. Clato really doesn't have a good track record. He throws hard, but he's not really all that good, and I'm really not sure how he survived this far into the spring, or even through the winter on the 40-man roster, especially when the Royals went and they got, you know, Omar Infante, and they claimed, you know, they signed Bruce Chen, and they claim other guys. So I don't know. It's really the smallest move probably possible, and I've spent like 3 minutes talking about it, because there really isn't a whole lot else going on. I mean, the kind of the most interesting thing that's popped up is there was a scout apparently talked to Jeffrey Flanagan from Fox Sports Kansas City, who suggested that maybe Carlos Peguero, who the Royals picked up 2 or 3 weeks ago in just a small trade, they got him for cash from the Mariners. You know, they suggested that this guy might be able to break out in some way, and I don't know if that's going to happen or not. He's a huge guy, but he strikes out a lot. The thing they were kind of pointing to for him is that he hit 31 homers in A-ball, which is all nice and all, but it was also A-ball at High Desert, which I could probably hit about 10 out in High Desert. So I don't know that I would really bank a whole lot on that. So I don't know. That's about all that's going on. I mean, the last Friday, pitchers and catchers reported. Tomorrow is going to be Wednesday, and the full team should be reporting as well. And I think they've all been down there for weeks already anyhow. So it's just one of those things where you just kind of wait for full workouts to start up. You wait for the intra-squad games to start, and then you wait for spring training games, which is about, I think it's a week and a half away. So we're just kind of waiting. Not a lot happening. Just got to be excited that baseball's officially packed now.
Yeah, and it just, as it gets closer, it just feels good. I'm going down March 3rd. This will be my first spring training. I'm going to have to get with our local veteran, which is D.B. Lesky, and find out about how to get the interviews and stuff. I think you just kind of go hang out on the fields and they talk to you. So.
Yeah, I think you just go bug them, see if they have 5 minutes.
So I think that's what I'm going to do while I'm waiting for my mom's plane to get in from Nebraska, and we'll go and check out the backfields. And I'm sure my wife's going to love that, because she's not nearly the baseball fan I am. So I'm sure standing out in the Phoenix heat is going to make her real happy. Now, granted, it's going to only be like 85 there, but still, you know, it's going to be
bad. God, I would kill for 85 right now.
Do you want to, you know, it's 68 degrees.
It was 65 today in Lawrence, but I don't think it's going to last till the weekend. So
I'll talk more about Vegas later, but I was in Vegas and it was like 70 when we woke up in the mornings, got up to like 85 every day, and it was so nice. It was such, even here it had been cold, mm-hmm. The week before we left, so it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice going into that. So, you know, the only thing that you talked about that I really care about at all is Ubaldo Jimenez signing the 4-year deal with the Orioles, which he'll probably fail the physical because Baltimore's weird like that, and then he'll get signed by Seattle for $550 or something. But I don't know that I like that deal. I've always said that I was a Rockies fan. I've followed them since day one because my dad lived out there, whatever. I went to like 9 opening days in Colorado before I moved back to Kansas City. And, you know, so I've always followed the Royals pretty close, or the Rockies pretty closely. And he was good in Colorado, but there was always something that kind of rubbed me about him that his numbers were better than he was. And then he went this last couple seasons to Cleveland, and he hasn't been that good. I don't think they consider Baltimore a pitcher's park, right?
No, it's a hitter's park. It's friendly for home run hitters. So it's not, you know, ideal if you're a starting pitcher.
He might be okay, but I'm not going to get too caught up on what he's doing, and I'm not too caught up on this deal. Now, you and I can't remember if this was an email or on Twitter, but you and I had a conversation, mm-hmm. of, you know, I didn't like this deal, and you liked it better than the Vargas deal. I said, so what, the Royals have to sign some sort of bad deal this offseason? And then that led into a whole discussion on on, you know, that this isn't that necessarily that bad of a deal, and it may not be, and I may be completely wrong, but I just haven't been real impressed with him and what he's done. So we'll see.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said, but now this really sets the guidelines for what Irv is going to get. But Irv's agent was on Twitter kind of going off on Kansas City, and then he deleted those tweets right away, and I wasn't able to screenshot them.
Everybody else
did. One of my buddies got...
I'm pretty sure.
I was in Vegas during it. One of my buddies got into him with it over it, and so I'm guessing that the relationships with Kansas City are not that solid. So we'll see what happens there, but I would expect about a 450 for... I still think he gets... about that, or maybe even a little higher, up towards $14 million a year for 4 years. I still think that's in play for Irvin Santana because he has shown to be a better pitcher than Ubaldo.
Has he? I mean, I was looking at this, and we should probably pick this up on the other side because I would argue that he has not been better than Ubaldo. Maybe last year or his recent track record has been, but overall, perhaps not. So... let's make that a teaser for the next one.
Yeah, we'll talk about this on the other side. We're going to take some breaks because as best we can to kind of fit with the way that they're doing things over at our Radio KC and to help out our good friend Kamler when he has to edit this in to fit their
so style. Many rules.
I know, right? We were just finally done with rules, but we won't break up interviews or anything like that. We'll worry about the cutting so that you, our audience, gets the best interviews with people.
And that's our signal, I think.
And that's my signal to
either
to
that or
talking.
The pizza rolls are done.
Right? We'll be right back on the other side.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport.
And we're back in. The pizza rolls are indeed done. I think they're a pepperoni pizza today. And we're back underway here. So, Mike, why do you think that Ubaldo is better than Irv?
Well, let's look at it. I'm thinking about the four probably biggest free agent contracts, not counting Masahiro Tanaka, who was just immense. So you've got Ubaldo Jimenez getting 4 years, $50 million, which is about this, which I think that's exactly the same as what Matt Garza got. Ricky Nolasco got 4 years and $49 million. So these are all in the same area. If you look at Garza, he's a guy who's he's going to turn 31 in November. You look at Ubaldo, he's not even there yet. Yeah, he just turned 30 last month. So he's a full year younger than Garza. He's a year younger than Santana. He's younger than Nolasco. He's younger than all of these guys who got similar deals. Now, when you look at his ERA plus, I mean, Ricky Nolasco has a 94 ERA plus over the course of his career. Irvin Santana has a career 100 ERA plus, which is kind of right around average, all things equal. Garza is about 108 ERA plus, and Ubaldo is at 112. ERA plus. Now his 2011 and 2012 were pretty mediocre, and I think there is some concern about his health. I mean, like you said, he may not pass his physical, and I think that's a legit concern. Plus, if you look at his motion, it looks like he's going to explode any second. But last year he also had a career high in strikeout percentage, strikeouts per nine innings. His walks didn't really jump up. Over the course of his career, he's allowed less than one home run per nine innings. He's really good at getting ground balls. And again, he's the youngest of any of these guys. So I would say that while 4 years, $50 million might be a lot, considering you're also paying the draft pick in signing him, I would say he's probably got the most upside of those four pitchers. Now, Garza's probably more consistent, but he has some injury histories. Santana has been really good some years and really bad other years. And then Nolasco has kind of just been – he's almost seemed like he's underachieved every single year. If you look at his, like, his BABIP and you know, his weighted things and his fielding independent pitching, he should have better numbers than what he's put up. But, you know, they're all probably about the same deal, and, you know, Santana's agent really needs to be looking to get about the same amount of money just because, you know, at this stage, that's what the market is. And he needs to get – you know, that kind of return for his player. So it'll be interesting to see what Santana gets. It's not going to come from the Royals. I would probably guess he is lined up for the Mariners, maybe, if I had to guess right now. I don't know. Blue Jays could be in on him, too. So those are probably the two teams next. But, you know, all of these guys, I think if you were to rank them, I would probably rank them, I don't know. As far as, like, who I would want, I would probably want Garza first just because he's been more consistent year to year. The only question is his health, whereas Ubaldo and Irvin Santana could be a boom or bust kind of guy, and Nolasco is just kind of middle of the road. So, you know, it's not a perfect deal, but I don't think it's a bad deal, and I would certainly say he's a better pitcher than Jason Vargas. So if you're going to commit 4 years, I'd rather commit it to a good pitcher than a guy like Jason Vargas who – I just don't expect much out of him. If he's average, I'll be happy. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at in measuring these deals. You know, it'd be great to get Irvin Santana, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
And I'm just not sure they want him at this point. And so it'll be interesting, but I think we have what we have. And the Vargas signing was dumb, and it was another misplay of the market. And it's frustrating because they keep misplaying this market so bad year after year after year, you know. Bruce Chen a couple of years ago, and now this, and it just doesn't stop. So I don't know what to think, and you know, maybe do we have a bad GM? I hate to say that because he has produced the best team we've seen in a long time. Granted, it took him a decade to do it, but at least it's there. But I guess if they come out and they do another year this year where they're above 500, they're in the playoff hunt till the end, and then more importantly next year he does it again, after James Shields is most likely gone, yeah. Who thinks he can get Zach Greinke money at his age, which you won't. But
I don't know. Everybody else is signing extensions right now. I mean, Homer Bailey is going to sign an extension. John Lester is going to sign an extension. Shields might be the only guy out there that anybody wants anything to do with.
But, I mean, look at their ages compared to him. Homer and I don't know about the other one, but Homer's a lot younger than him, isn't he not?
It's a couple years, yeah. And I mean, that's going to be one thing that's going to drive some teams away. And Shields has a lot of innings on that arm. I mean, he's thrown 200 innings pretty much every year that he's been in the big leagues. So it's going to be something that people are going to look at. But at the same time, he's got, you know, he's thrown 200 innings every year. And they've mostly been good innings. 2010 was a little rough, but, you know, everything corrected. And, you know, then you get into the intangibles, however far you want to believe you know, the clubhouse changed atmosphere and things like that. So, I mean, he's gonna get his money, I'm pretty sure, especially if he's the only, quote, elite pitcher that's on the market. You know, everybody else is going to be locked up or, young enough that they're not hitting free agency yet. So I'm not sure what's going to be out there next year. So that's almost an argument to make the Royals more aggressive this year when there are guys out there now. People will emerge and, you know, people will fade out and things like that. So, I mean, it's always going to change. But still, I mean, if there's some certainty for some kind of level or performance going in and you're not sure what's going to be available next year, that's another thing to keep in mind. And I just don't see Vargas, you know, he's barely average now. I can't see him continuing in as he gets older. And so, you know, I would rather have just about any other pitcher that would have been out there than Vargas.
Okay, so Greinke got 6 year, 147. Okay, so this last year he made a paltry $17 million, which honestly he was underpaid this year compared to what the market's setting at now. So I guess his contract's not as big as I was thinking. I mean, I think Clayton Kershaw's is actually bigger in the long run, isn't it?
Clayton Kershaw's is bigger than everybody. So yeah. We're all in sticker shock from
and,
that.
And, I mean, if he's expecting that, he's not going to get it. But I guess my thought is, yeah, how old is he? I mean, how old is
32. 32.
So he's thinking he's going to get a Greinke contract. So he wants 6 years, 150. So you're going to pay a 38-year-old pitcher even if it's front ended loaded, you know, what would that still be at the end? You're still looking at least probably what, 12, 13 million for a 38-year-old pitcher who's pitched 200 innings his entire career. You know, at some point that arm's going to fall off. Your arm is, the pitching motion is not natural. That's why we have Tommy John surgery. And you can't tell me that any human being, well, I guess that's not true because I used to do it in the old days all the time. But, you know, can James Shields do it in this era with things the way they are until he's 40 years old, essentially, and making $12 million a year to do it? And is somebody going to sign him for that? I mean, I know the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and, you know, any team in a major market anymore is insane. But, man, that seems like a lot of money. 6 years, 150 for a guy that'd be 38 at the end of the deal. But then again, I guess the proof's there. You know, Pujols got that kind of deal. And he's going to be that kind of age. And it's probably even harder for a hitter than it is a pitcher. Because at least a pitcher, you could slide him in as a reliever or something. Granted, a very expensive reliever at that point. But at least he'd be giving you something if he did start to wind down for some reason. But, my oh my, what a crazy situation.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his wins above replacement, just according to Baseball Reference, over the course of his career, he's been 23.4 WAR player. You know, if you take a look at that over 7-8 seasons, I mean, in 2006, he made 21 starts, so that's enough to really kind of look at. Yeah, that's about 3 wins above replacement per season, and we talked about it, you know, about a month or so ago about the value of a win. That's, you know, if it's about $5 million a win, that's about $15 million a year. So, I mean, I could see it. It's, you know, maybe someone's not going to give him 6-7 years, but I could see 4 years, 60-some million dollars. I could see that pretty easily with James Shields, and especially if there's no other real alternative to him out on the free agent market. You know, it goes back to kind of what the Royals ran into last year, where your options are either overpay for a pitcher or, you know, you have to go and make a trade. And one of the arguments against making the James Shields trade was that, you know, if you're dealing with Tampa, they can leverage every other team, you know, and get, you know, whatever prospects because he's the only commodity there. Whereas on the free agent market, you know, that guy can just choose to sign with your team. You don't have to convince anybody but the player and the agent, you know, whereas you've got a whole front office working to get him. And maybe that doesn't make any difference. Maybe it's still you're going to pay a lot, but it seems like you have more options going with free agency than trying to get a trade. So, I mean, I could see it how, you know, next winter James Shields is a free agent and had everybody coming at him. You know, and if they want to sign a free agent pitcher with a good track record, they're going to have to pay what they're asking, more or less. But, I mean, we'll see. I would pretty much rule out the Royals going for any kind of extension, though. It's just going to be too much considering what other guys are getting.
Well, and I have one more thing I wanted to talk about, but we're not going to get it in before the break. So I was going to talk about the Freddie – they talked about this a long time on Pine Tar Press, but how the Freddie Freeman contract affects how the Freddie Freeman contract potentially would affect a Hosmer extension, but – I don't know why that word all of a sudden was hard for me. I don't foresee, because I had two thoughts at once. I don't foresee Hosmer doing an extension with the Royals anyways, because I don't think he wants to play in Kansas City in the long run. Nothing against Kansas City, but he sees himself a Yankee. That's where he wants to be. He'll be the first player to go to the Yankees from the Royals in many, many years, and so that we can start hearing that again, how the Royals is a farm system for the Yankees when it hasn't happened in a long, long
time. The last actual free agent to go from the Royals to sign with the Yankees, and maybe it's changed if I'm... I'd have to go double check, but I think it was Aaron Gile in like 2006 or something, which is whatever. And before that, it was like Chili Davis. So that narrative's silly. But yeah, I don't see him because it's Scott Boras, and Scott Boras is, you know, as an agent, really doesn't like to talk extension with these guys. He wants his stars to hit the free agent market, and you know, if the Royals want to keep him from hitting the free agent market, they're going to have to pay up. You know, they're not great with that track record. I mean, they got guys like Butler and they got guys like Soria and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, if Hosmer hits some of the potential that he had coming up, I mean, he might be better than any of those guys, which changes everything significantly.
Well, and I think on that note, that's a good place for me to go make a phone call. And we're going to have a great guest coming up next. I'm very happy for Anthony Saratelli. I always like to put an N in his name. Anthony Saratelli, who is going to be with us from the New York Mets. We don't have a lot of guests from the New York Mets, but this is one that I love. And I was just informed by Chris Kamler that he's very excited about this interview because he's a big fan of Saratelli as well. So we'll be giving something back to Mr. Kamler. But we'll be right back on the other side with Anthony Saratelli.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup. No love letters, talking to the wall. Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends. The best pizza in Kansas City and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri.
And welcome back to Kansas City Baseball Ball. I'm pretty excited about this interview. It's somebody that a lot of you know if you listen to this show because he's been somebody we've talked about a lot, somebody we were really rooting for to make it to the Royals last year, and didn't happen for whatever reason, never got that call-up. That was disappointing for us as fans. I know a lot of the Kansas City Baseball Vault really likes this guy, and of course the man I'm speaking of is Anthony Saratelli. He's a bit of a Twitter legend and YouTube legend, and he makes pretty cool videos too on the subject of guys that do good YouTube videos. So first off, welcome to the show, Anthony. How you doing?
Thanks, Troy. I'm doing great.
Now, we're excited to have you here, and as we led in to the show, you are no longer a Kansas City Royal. You know, you were with this organization for 7-8 years. You know, it was your big break in pro baseball, and I mean, kind of take us through the process that of you leaving and then getting signed by the Mets.
Yeah, the process, it was all new to me. I had never been a free agent yet in baseball. My first affiliated contract was with the Royals, as you mentioned. So I was with them for 7 years. It was home to me. It was my first opportunity to play with an affiliated team. And this winter rolled around and it came to the point where I was either going to be free agent or the Royals called me up or put me on the 40 man. And obviously none of that happened. So, which is unfortunate. You know, I would have, they were my team. That was my home, and I would have loved to have made it to Kansas City and been able to play there, make my debut there. But other things occurred, and I got some interest once free agency rolled around this winter. I got a lot of interest, actually, which was real nice for me, kind of rejuvenating for me to know teams wanted me to play in the big leagues. Because, you know, 7 years in the same organization and in the minor league, it can get a little defeating. You know, it's a grind, and you wonder, can I play in the big leagues? Did this team want me to play in the big leagues for them? And free agency opened up, and I got a bunch of phone calls and interest. And the Mets were one of the leaders right out the gate with their situation opportunity-wise for me as a player. And the fact that it is in New York and, it would be right next to home for me was, the cherry on top. So it was not an easy decision. The team I wanted to go to, but it was, and it wasn't a fun decision to leave the Royals, but I felt like opportunity was calling from elsewhere, so that was the decision I had to make.
Like I said, you were somebody that a lot of people were rooting for here, and when you left, I was kind of watching Twitter when the announcement came down, and you announced that you were going to the Mets. You know, a lot of Mets fans were real excited. They apparently had known who you were, being a Jersey boy. They kind of knew of you, and then others were like, "Oh my God, why are the Mets signing an 8-year minor leaguer that's 31 years old?" And you know, Mike and I joked before the show. We're like, "Man, this guy's old like us, because I'm 33 and Mike's about my age." And then we, you know, poor guy, I can't imagine going through the rigors that's Major League Baseball or minor league baseball at 30, because it's a lot of work what you do, and now you've grinded it out. And when you signed with the Mets, what did they tell you? Like, do you have a really good chance to open in New York, or do you think that you may be, you know, are you AAA bound, are you Major League bound, or do you have no idea?
No, when I signed, when they were, I guess you would say, recruiting me, they told me that I would have opportunity to be a bench guy right out of camp, and you know, you never know how that's going to play out over the winter. They could have signed six other, you know, multi-year contracts if they wanted to, but it played out in my favor, and it stayed the way pretty much it was, if not got better by them non-tendering some players that were kind of in the same position as me. And it looks like right now, you know, I have a chance to make the team as a bench player out of spring training. So, you know, that's going to be up to me, you know, showing them what I can do, and then them obviously wanting to be on the bench, which I hope that I would fit for a National League team. So I think right now, I don't think I'm AAA bound, you know, right out of the gate, that I can make this team. Just like they say, I have a chance.
Well, and you talked about being a player that is bound for the major leagues, and that you've just fit with what the Mets want to do, being a National League team. Man, you are, if there was ever a player that's right for the National League, it's you. I've been looking at your Baseball Reference since I reached out to you to do this interview, and you've got time in right field, left field, shortstop, third, second, first. I mean, will we see a catch and pitch at some point? I mean, you just seem to be kind of all over the diamond, and that's what a National League player has to do. Is that something that caught their interest?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm more suited for the National League as a super utility type player. And I believe that definitely caught their attention. And the fact that I can run a little bit and hit from both sides, you know, it's just the ultimate versatility factor that I think they were honed in on. And the fact that I get on base, so I know they want me to get on base and get in the scoring position. That's the goal. So, and then obviously off the bench late in the game, for them to be able to take out the pitcher, pinch hit whoever they want, you know, whether it be me or whoever else. And then it doesn't matter who it is, that they want to switch it out. I can go play any of those positions. So obviously, National League team, I would hope, would have interest in me. And that's what ends up happening. And I think that's what the Mets are interested in. So, I definitely think I could play that role, and hopefully it plays out that way.
Now, when you're talking about playing a lot of positions, it's something obviously not a lot of people can do. But when you're also coming off the bench, how does that impact, like, when you're coming into the game? I know there's some guys who've always been known as very good pinch hitters, or some guys who they'll say, you know, if they're a DH, they don't do as well because they're not as engaged in the game. How do you balance that preparation, you know, if you know you're going to be on the bench most of the time versus starting, or if you know that you're going to be at second versus, you know, switching all over the place?
Right. As a hitter, you know, I think it's the same as starting the game. You know, if you know you're starting a game, you go in there prep to be a starter, know you're going to get 3, 4, 5 at bats, and who you're facing and all that. As a bench player, you don't necessarily know who you're going to be facing, but odds are you're going to be coming in the game at some point, especially in the National League. So, you know, come the 5th, 6th inning, you know, you're starting to get loose. You might go in the cage, take some hacks, just start really honing in on what's going on. And it might not even be a pinch hit. It might be a pinch run. There's just so many things you could possibly do off the bench, especially for me, that I can't really just, like, lock in on one thing. So it's just the mental factor of being ready to do it. I've moved around so much that I'm comfortable in any position at any time. So it's not like, you know, I hope I don't go to this position, or I hope I don't have to do this. It's nothing like that. It's, you know, put me in the game. I'm ready to go. So I think that's just a preparation that I've learned over the years. I haven't ever played just one position, so I'm just kind of used to that. It's nothing new to me.
We're talking with Anthony Saratelli here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can find him on Twitter at ARS1 Productions. Just click on that. It's got all of his information for YouTube and what have you. He's done some great work, and so you definitely need to check that out. Now, Mike asked you about what it's like to prepare for positions. I'm going to take that one step farther. What's it like going into camp, knowing that you've got a good shot of making a major league team versus going into camp trying to win a spot on a major league team? Are you preparing any differently?
This is a first for me, you know, coming into camp thinking I have a legitimate shot at making the team out of spring training. So that's all new to me, but prep-wise, I'm not doing anything different. I'm getting ready for the season as I would any other year. It didn't start me any earlier. It didn't start me any later. I'm coming here trying to win a job, so I'm my preparation all winter was just to be ready for spring training. That's where I'm at. And, you know, our first workout is Saturday, and it's on. You know, there's just, you just go out there and compete. I feel like I play better when I'm competing for a job than when I'm kind of knowing where I'm going to be. If you know what I'm saying, like I'd rather there be some competition than just be laid back and say, you know, this is your job to have. Believe it or not, I know that might sound weird because most people would be comfortable knowing where they're going to be, but that's never been the case for me, so I'm not used to that. So I'd rather have the competition factor. I don't have this job locked up. You know, it's a job for me to go and win, so I'm ready for that. I'm ready to compete, and it's going to be fun.
I also had a guy very similar, played a lot of positions. A lot of people really rooted for him as well. His name, Ed Lucas. He finally made the jump into the big leagues last year. Have you talked to him a little bit about kind of that making that final jump and realizing the dream?
I haven't talked to Matt specifically, but I'm friends with Eddie. And I actually, I remember speaking to him the week before he got called up and just saying how, you know, how well he was doing and wondering how it was because he had left the organization 2 years prior and just wondering what it was like, you know, on the other side of the wall, just, you know, these other teams and what's it like to be out there and experiencing these different organizations. And, you know, we were talking about that, and I was telling him, man, the way he was playing, because we were playing again at the time, I was like, you know, you're ready to be up there. I hope that this team gives you the opportunity. A week later, he was up there, and he was doing his thing, and, you know, I texted him, and he said, man, it's nothing different, just keep working hard, and, you know, when you get that opportunity, you'll be ready. So I'm excited for it, and you know, I'm excited for him. I was so happy to see him get called up, and, you know, gives me hope too. You know, it's not over when you hit 30. So
it's just crazy to think about what you've been through, and I hope we'll link it when we post this one. We'll link it to the first conversation with you, which has your story in it. And if people haven't heard your story, they need to, because you have had such a fantastic journey to get to where you are, and it makes you so easy to root for. And we're going to take a quick break here, but we're going to keep talking to Anthony Saratelli because he's just too good for one segment. So we're going to be right back on the other side with the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
After a long day, you can only go so far.
Callies.
You work hard to make the moment right.
Callies.
You grind it out to make that time yours.
Callies.
You pound the pavement only to find you're getting closer.
Callies.
You find the peak, and the peak finds you.
Callies.
When you find the time, and she finds the time, make it Callies.
Callies.
Kelly's Westport Inn can cause intimate moments and can also cause members of the opposite sex to appear more or less attractive than they actually are. You should speak to a doctor before attempting Kelly's Westport Inn, as the results might be marriage, children, or a one-night stand. Or it might just involve having some beers with your friends, eating some pizza, and watching the games on TV. I don't know. I talk pretty fast.
Kelly's Westport Inn. You know when.
Kelly's.
And we're back in here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Troy Olson, joined by Michael Engel. We are talking with Mr. Anthony Saratelli. You can follow him on Twitter at ARS1 Productions. Don't got a lot more for Anthony, but you made a remark before we went on the air that you're still trying to meet everybody in with the Mets. And, you know, and the worst part, I guess, for you is you're in Florida. You're not even in Arizona this year. So it's not like you can go down, you know, a few miles over and hang out with Johnny Giovitella or some of the other guys that you've spent all your career with. Is there a few people in Florida that either on other teams or that are former Royals or something that you're excited to see, or are you just kind of out there just trying to meet your new teammates?
Right now I'm just trying to meet my new teammates. They're actually, the teams aren't as close together as they are in Arizona, which I'm learning quickly. It was, 7 years in Arizona. I've never had spring training in Florida. A whole new world to me. I mean, I came down here not even knowing which teams played in which city, it's crazy to me. I had to learn all that. And the weird thing about the Mets was, throughout my career, the only time I played against them was in Omaha. And that was for the last two seasons. And we only played them 4 games each year, total. So, 8 games total. So I haven't even barely played against any of these guys. This is probably the only team you could pick where I might know this little amount of players. So, not only did I switch, cities where on the other side of the country, I'm in a whole new world with getting to know guys, which, I mean, there's no problem. I've seen guys come in and out of houses. It's easy to get to know people, and I think I'm a likable guy, so I get along with people pretty easily. So that's no problem. It's just all new to me, and, everyone's starting to get here, so camp's filling up, and it's going to be no problem being out in the field and, talking to guys, getting to know guys, and it'll work itself out.
Well, be glad you're in Florida right now, not in New York, because they're just getting pounded with that snow and everything, and you're not gonna see anything down there. We were talking about you not being able to go and talk to your old friends. Chris Kamler, one of our cohorts, he's on Twitter at the Fake Ned, and he wanted me to ask you. You're good friends with Johnny Giovitella, and Johnny's had a tough ride in Kansas City, and a lot of us as fans or bloggers or reporters, whatever the heck we are, we feel that Johnny has kind of gotten a raw deal too, and it seems like there's always been somebody in his way, and it's still kind of that way, but at least with Bonifacio being let go from the Royals, it opens up a spot potentially for Johnny or Christian Colon. Have you talked to Johnny? Is he feeling like he's got a shot this year of making it with the Royals, or is he just kind of waiting for his chance to go play for somebody else? I mean, honestly, I know you can't probably tell me honestly if he's waiting for a chance to go play somewhere else, but is he feeling like he's got a good shot with the Royals this year, or where's his head at?
You'd have to speak to him about that. I talked to him about it, and he's ready to go as he is every year, and he's going to try to win a spot. The situation has changed. It's earlier in the spring when they signed Infante, it looked like it was really locked up. Then, like you just said, Bonifacio gets ousted, and now a spot opens up. So, look, by the time middle of spring this year, they could trade someone, they can get someone. You just never know. So, we've learned that over the years, and we've talked about that. And you might have been upset with the situation at first, but that's kind of what I said to him was, dude, things can change so quick. Look at where I am now. I don't even feel like I was really considered to have a big league job in Kansas City. And now I'm over here, and it looks like I'm in the lead to potentially win a bench spot. So, and what did I do different this winter? Absolutely nothing. I just, switched teams. So in a month from now, the situation could completely change. So he's going to go in there and play hard like he always does. And, that's what everyone loves about him. And if he wins a job, he wins a job. He can't control that. So, he's ready to play just like he is every other year.
Well, and he's another fan favorite, so we sure hope that he gets a shot. Man, I don't have a lot else to ask you. Are we still going to see a lot of ARS1 productions on Twitter with your new guys, or are the old guys going to get together in the off season and make some more videos, or what do we have to expect from your YouTube side of things?
I would love to get some new guys into things. I would love to meet up with some of the buddies from Kansas City and just up in the winter. I'm definitely going to take a little break come this weekend. Just to make sure, I'm locked in on this baseball thing and try to make this team, and then we'll go from there. But, it's not going to stop. They come and they go, and you'll see plenty of them. I enjoy doing them. So, just keep an eye out.
Well, you're headed to New York this summer for baseball. I hope I'm headed to New York because I'm trying to get into the MLB fan cave. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but, I'm hoping that I can win one of the spots there, be it 3 or 9 or whatever they decide to go with this year. And man, if I get out there, I sure hope they give us a chance to go out and see the stadiums there in New York. I don't know if they do or not, but I sure hope so. And if I do, I hope that our paths cross, because I'd love to be able to meet you in person once and shake your hand and thank you personally for coming on the show and everything. And we appreciate it. And I can't thank you enough for responding so quick to the text and getting in touch with us.
No problem, guys. I enjoy it. You guys are great to talk to.
Well, Anthony, go out there, kill it this spring. We're going to be watching you. And then if you're willing, we're going to try to have you on at the end of spring. Hopefully we'll find out that you're named to the 25-man roster, and we can talk about what your preparation is now that you're headed to the major leagues and everything that goes with that. Because I don't know if people know it or not, but the way I understand it, there's a lot of really good players union benefits that start your first day in the major leagues. So we were hoping last year you'd get at least one day in the major leagues, and it looks like this year it's going to happen. So we're super happy for you, and I'm sure you're more excited than we are, but we're definitely feeling it for you. So good luck, and if you need anything from us, just let us know.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
And what a great interview with Anthony Saratelli. I love this guy, man. I want him to win so bad. You know, if he was a boxer, you'd be hoping he could just KO everybody in his first round, because I get excited talking to him. You know, he's 31 years old and he's maybe going to be a Major League Baseball player. I mean, can you imagine? Well, you can't imagine. I mean, we do that all the time, but could you even put yourself in his shoes, being an 8-year minor leaguer, that being your whole life, and now you have a real shot?
God, I mean, I would have been happy making a high school team. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to be this close and have a realistic shot. I mean, the Mets, they have some spots. I mean, their shortstop spot's not really lined up, and they've got other areas of need out there. And, you know, I think it's a good position for him to be a versatile guy who can get on base and have a little bit of pop and, you know, clearly a lot of experience as a pro. So it's a good situation for him. I hope he makes it.
Well, and like I said, you know, Candler was messaging me while we were recording, and he said, you know, I am excited for this interview because he said ARS is one of my favorites, of course, referring to his Twitter handle. And I want him to win. I want him to do well. I hope he gets a spot in the major leagues. I just want the best for this guy. He's been the kind of guy you want. So on that note, Michael Engel, is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so. I mean, we're, like I said before, we're just kind of waiting for things to start happening. Nobody's really hurt. You know, nobody's really done anything. I mean, there's some talk about Kyle Zimmer and kind of holding him back. We talked a bit about this last week too. Yeah, I mean, there's just not a whole lot right now. It's very much in that it's in that period where nobody's done anything official in a game yet. Nobody's had any spring training games. They're just getting warmed up. So the entire 2014 season is just a blank canvas, and you can put whatever you imagine on it. So every team thinks they're in it. Every team's tied for first place, and, you know, everybody's in the best shape of their life. So except Jesus Montero. He's the only guy who's not.
I heard he was huge.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah, the guys from the Suspetti's Barbacast, I think is what they call it, said that he was a rather large. They did a play on words, and they said Jesus Montero is huge.
He was big anyway, so I can't imagine if there's hyperbole about his size now. What he's clocking in it.
He was not a very good player as big as he was, and, you know, it took Billy getting in better shape to be a better player. It'll be interesting to see.
No, that's a lie. Billy Butler's terrible, blah, 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 blah.
And he's fat, and he's slow. And
he is slow. He's not fat, honest to God. He's probably in better shape than a lot of people who complain about him. He just looks big because everybody else is Alex Gordon, and they're cut like crazy.
I will forever regret sending in that tweet to Mellinger that about him clogging the bases. That came up in one of the Twitter Tuesdays. I regret that now after reading Twitter saying that for years and years, and it's not. I mean, yes, he clogs the bases somewhat, but it's not.
He also gets on them. I would rather a guy get on base than a guy who's got all the speed in the world and can't get on. Joey Gathright had all the speed in the world, couldn't get on base. So you tell me what you want.
Yeah, it is what it is. So
Gathright had no power either, and he couldn't play defense. So there you go.
Check out Our City Radio. Like I said, it's kansascity.rcityradio.com/sports-channel or just kansascity.rcityradio.com. They are on Twitter. I don't have that handle handy, but you can follow at TheFakeNed, and you can also follow at Michael Engel, at Troy AOF. No, that's not me anymore. At KC Baseball Vault. No, well, that works too. At KC Baseball Vault. I'm KC Royal, man. Man, it's still weird to say. Well, it's just weird
together,
to say.
Man.
I changed handles too many times, I guess, you know. I was so used to being my other handle, and now with the hoping for the fan cave thing, going back to the KC Royal, man. But anyways, we got to cut this show up and get it ready for for that station. You can also find us on iTunes, which you're welcome to subscribe to, and then, of course, Stitcher and the many other places we've mentioned over the last few months.
SoundCloud.
RoyalsPodcast.com. Awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Under construction.
So check out the other shows. There's a lot of them. We didn't do an Around the Horn this week. Thank you to Jeff and Mike for holding down the fort while I went to Vegas. We had a good time. We actually went on one of those timeshare presentations and got a bunch of free meals out of it because I wouldn't let the guy send me on it until I got everything I wanted. So we cleaned up. And so that combined with the fact that my wife had her best lucky streak of her life, we ended up, I don't think, paying 1 cent for our honeymoon to Las Vegas this last week. So I think
that
was about as good as we were going to get. Next week, we should have Jeff back. It should be all three of us, hopefully. The week following, I'm going to Phoenix to spring training and to pick up my mom from the airport. So I will probably not be on the actual show, but I will be hopefully sending sound back from spring training. After that, I will be there March 3rd through the 5th. Lesky comes in on the 5th to spring training. He will have stuff at Pine Tar Press. This is why we did the network for you folks, so that we can have the best spring training coverage you will find in any podcast out there. I would put that on the line of any of the non-ESPN podcasts, and I think we're going to have the best coverage of spring training this year. So check it out. There's going to be a lot of good stuff the next couple weeks. But until next week, for Michael Engel and Jeff Herr, I'm Troy Olson. Big thank you to Anthony Saratelli. We'll be back next week. Go Royals.
You have been listening to a Royals Podcast Network presentation.